I think I just
ripped ass and my microphone picked it up.
Oh man, you know I'm recording, right? Like,
I know. I can't keep my face straight with things like that. I'm just over here hanging out, and I see the little green bar show up around the edge of my video. I'm like, son of a bitch.
I'm not gonna leave you alone in this embarrassment because I constantly think my mic picks up my farts. Constantly. And what's funny is ladies fart too, and Melissa farts regularly, and when we're doing Prelude, almost once an episode she will like let one rip, and I'll just look at her like, I'm not so sure that they're not gonna hear that, especially when I have to turn up the audio to even pick us up. Farts aplenty.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible gaming podcast.
Hello, my name is Zach Ryan with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, for whatever reason, have decided to listen to another horrible gaming podcast.
Another one.
But I am not alone, and usually I am never alone. With me is...
That's Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
I'm going to fix this camera. It's showing too much of my fat gut. welcome to the show, everybody. It's been interesting week in gaming.
Yeah.
Right after Starfield came out, and now we've got and that's all I'm sure gonna come out in the odds and ends. It's been very interesting in the odds, and I think me and Neil got the same odds for at least one thing.
I am willing,
which
to put
could be its own talking point, but was too negative. But on top of that, on some positive notes, we also got a Sony State of Play, and we got a Nintendo Direct, that was very interesting. So we're gonna get into it all today, and give our shitty opinion, because that's what we do here. But before we do that, we gotta thank the people who've helped make this possible.
Quantity over quality.
Mission statement at Old Man Gaming. Quantity over quality. We commit to a lot of videos that aren't very good. That's what we commit to here. If you're bored, listen to us. If you're looking for quality TV, there's better ones out there. Better stuff out there. But if you're bored and you like you're jogging, you know. So to think,
great cleaning the bathroom audio.
Oh, can I tell you that's usually how I listen to these back? Is I'm cleaning my house. That's when I'm listening to this podcast is when I'm cleaning the house, definitely. So anyway, now that we were done insulting ourselves for the first 2 minutes of this video, we are gotta thank the people who helped us make this possible. Behind our ugly mugs is a fancy graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And then, of course, the theme song for this show and all of the shows here at Old Man Gaming was provided by the man who makes the music, my brother, Nick Van Sliders, to thank him for that. We'll be right back with Fans Reaction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment. That would be Fan Interaction. That's where we, the co-hosts, we talk to you guys, the fans. We discuss your comments and all the places we may or may not see them. We riff on them. That's what we do here. Very interesting. We're coming off of our Starfield show, which I'm kind of glad that we're going to talk about it because I have more developments on my side of Starfield. I definitely want to see what you're thinking about it as we've gone into more hours of it. Because I don't think either one of us had more than maybe 5 hours tops by the time we were doing our podcast of it. Just because of how busy our weeks were, you know. So I don't think we really had a lot of time with it. I have had over 20 hours with it, and it is now no longer on my hard drive. So we'll get into that. And we're going to get into that right away. Because, let me make sure. Yeah, news first. Oh my god. Why aren't you letting me Alright, you're letting me shuffle things. Thank you. Alright. First and foremost, Jason, I like Starfield, but it's not OMG greatest game ever. It's a typical game of the Fallout 4 / Mass Effect / whatever type. I think the story is interesting, but it hits into some of the sci-fi buttons I'm so biased. Considering Zach never heard of temples, I feel he's done like none of the story. Goddamn right. I stumbled on the Mantis storyline, and I heard some stuff on. So with the Bat Cave and the Bat Spaceship and the superpowers from the temples, I'm basically a space superhero, and I sure wasn't expecting to be the galaxy's super Batman. I've actually heard about the Batman stuff from my friends who are actually still playing it. No, I did not do any of the main story because I don't think the point of a good Bethesda game is doing the main story right away. I think the main point of a Bethesda game is testing the freedom of the Bethesda game, because that's what they always boast. That's what they've been boasting on Starfield since this thing started its development cycle, since we started hearing the announcement, is how much freedom you were going to have in this game. That's what they boast in Bethesda. And I'm going to say right now, not even close to enough. Not even close to enough. I have never been... I just continually got more and more and more frustrated with this game. It constantly puts up roadblocks, and it literally makes you play it the way it wants to be played. Which, again, Skyrim didn't do that. Like, say what you want about Skyrim. Whether you liked or hated Skyrim, I understand that. But at its core, Skyrim allowed you to do what you want and allowed you to tackle the missions in the way that you wanted to do them, or the quests or whatever. Starfield does not do that. It is one of the most linear open world games I have ever played in my life. And I just couldn't do it anymore. So it is... I am not going to waste 140 gigs of my hard drive on my PC for a game that does nothing but frustrate me. And basically, I'm going to save the big rant of everything I did, but what I defined, what I described to you guys, as far as the whole shooting my way out of the Vanguard ship sort of situation, I just kept hitting roadblocks like that. It just kept making me do things. And I was running the Crimson Fleet storyline. That's what I was running. The pirates almost did almost no piracy. It was a ton of stealth missions, but they don't let you ever shoot your way out of it, ever. They don't let you really even stealth. The stealth system was not great, not great at all. And again, another system that is actually kind of locked behind traits that they don't tell you about. There's just an entire lack of information that Starfield gives you, and it just kept making me more and more frustrated as I played. So 20 hours in, I was like, I this is a lackluster experience for me. I have other games that I could be playing that I enjoy much more. And I told a friend, all Starfield was doing was making me want to play Skyrim again. That's all it was doing. So I had to walk away from Starfield. I will say this, by no means am I saying it's a bad game. I have no problems with Jason liking Starfield, or anybody liking Starfield for that matter. It's a solid game. It's just, if you asked a true Bethesda fan, which is me, to compare this to other Bethesda games, I think it falls short in almost every category, other than the sheer amount of space that you can occupy. But again, if I'm just going to world hop, I'm going to do it in a game that's colorful and fun, like No Man's Sky, not Starfield, which is just grays and blacks everywhere you go, no matter what you do. It wasn't fun. It was not fun for me. The only thing I was even remotely having fun with was the shooting aspects, but even those, I kept thinking to myself, other games do better shooting. Remnant 2, for that matter. If I want to play this for shooting, I should just go play a better shooter. So it just came down to, I didn't want any more. I'm not asking for a refund. This isn't like the Cyberpunk situation or anything like that, where it's just a broken, absolute mess. But, like, this was just not fun for me, I guess, is the best way to define it.
I haven't super played a whole heck of a lot more. I literally haven't had time.
Okay.
It's craziness with work and school as per usual. I got maybe 45 minutes in this week.
Right.
That was it.
I get it. I don't know. It's just not doing it for me. And it just makes me frustrated and want something more, you know, that I'm not getting, you know? I still feel like I was underpromised. You know what I mean? Like the level of freedom and the level of stuff you can do. I just don't feel it's there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I will say on the upside, one thing that I really enjoyed, because I did just start hopping around trying to find fun, and I ended up running into this space station where there was these people who had raided the space station, but it was zero gravity. So I had a zero gravity gunfight. That was really cool. It was my highlight point of the playthrough. I really enjoyed that, like bursting around with my booster, you know, shooting people, and then they would get shot in zero degrees, so they would just spin forever, and like stuff like that was really cool. There are still cool moments in Starfield. It's not enough for me to justify having that much space taken up on my hard drive when I'd say 90% of the time I'm just frustrated with something. Like, I get excited about something, I go to that thing, and then that thing disappoints me. It's not the worst thing I've ever done, but it just disappoints me. Does that make sense? Like, it's just like slight letdown after slight letdown to the point where I'm like, this, why am I doing this, you know?
Yeah. No, I've definitely felt games like that before. I mean, granted, I can't exactly point to one right now that was like a slight letdown, you know, after another. Because mine always wind up being like, this thing's a piece of shit, I can't play it anymore. Right. Like, you know, right. I have no middle ground when right. it comes to that stuff.
Right.
But no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's weird too, because I don't know if there hadn't been as much hype around this thing and it being as hyped up as it was, I don't know whether I would feel this way. Like, if this was just something that, like, I saw and just tried because it was on Game Pass, you know, maybe I'd be much more wowed, you know? But, yeah. Like, with what was promised, I can't stay with it. I can't keep into it. So, and I know, Jason, you don't listen to what anybody says. Good for you. But, like, again, we have to. You know what I mean? And I don't know, like, and it's not even just that. It's the company. It's Bethesda. This is Bethesda. This is the makers of Skyrim. This is the makers of Fallout 3 and 4. Like, that's who these people, that's what these guys do. And I just felt like Skyrim and Fallout 4 are better games than this.
Yeah.
Pitchfork's welcome to come at me, I guess. Jason then continues, the xCloud wait time has been growing longer and longer. Started out saying 1 minute, then started seeing 5 to 10 minutes. It's nuts, 20 minutes. Yes,
mm-hmm.
It's very nuts. I have two ships sitting there because I don't want to pay that much to register the things. I know. That was another thing that really irritated me. It was like, I was really excited to play a pirate. You can't really make that much money as a pirate. Like, it's like, you make almost shit nothing for it. Like, because to register the ships, it costs like 90% of the cost of the ship to register it. And then you can sell it, but you're not making that much off of it. And then, like, you're constantly getting bounties that you have to pay off. Or the minute you go, and that's another thing, the minute you go into a system where you have a bounty, you're immediately attacked. Just immediately attacked. Like, there were times where I would, like, even on, like, Backworlds, where there's not even a big, like, presence of things, I would beam in to hit another ship, and then other ships would just beam in, like, they just knew that I was in their space, like, that kind of stuff, like, allow me to finagle it a little bit. Don't get me wrong, I've got a bounty, I should be hunted, I get that, mm-hmm. But, like, it just doesn't let you even try to do the stuff it doesn't want to do. Basically, what it does is it's like, it tells you, you can do this thing. This is a system that's in the game. But then it makes it so impossible to deal with that system that you shouldn't be dealing with it. And then basically when you say, why is it this way? They're just going to say, well, that's how hard it would be to be this. So fuck you. You know? And that's the kind of stuff that, like, so you're basically railroading me into playing a certain way, even though you're not saying that I have to play that way.
Well, that's your problem, Zach. You shouldn't have tried to have fun.
Exactly. 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 Like, whenever I tested the boundaries of what I could do in this game, I came up wanting. And that was my biggest problem. Is like, I couldn't really do the stealing stuff. I couldn't really do the piracy stuff. I couldn't really make any of that work because they don't really want you to do that. They want you to do the quests. They just want you to do the quests, and they want you to do the quests exactly the way they told you to do them. But they want to put all these other options here, like, oh, it's possible, but it's not really. You have to kind of do it their way, or you're going to get shot down until you try and do it their way. There's a whole mission for the pirates where you have to do this stealth thing, and you have to go in, and you have to steal this ship. And, like, I tried shooting in. Nope, got killed. Okay, fine, I get it. It's a whole base of bad guys. It's a prototype. I get it. So I tried to do this other way around it, and like I got all the way towards the end, and one person found me, and then it was a shootout, and I couldn't even get to the ship. They locked the entire thing down. There was just no way to do it other than the stealth ways. That's it. Like the stealth ways or the highway, period. And it's just not acceptable for me.
And if there's one thing I hate in game, it's forced stealth. I hate forced stealth.
Yes, and there's tons of forced stealth in this game. But the thing is it's not like truly fourth stealth. Because if I went out and grinded for like 40 hours, I'm sure I could come back there at level like 62 and probably annihilate the base. But like, it's still forced stealth because you're supposed to be here at a certain time. You know what I mean? And if you do it any other way, you're gonna die. Alright. Jason then continues, my big gripes for Starfield. Terrain. I constantly get stuck on the terrain, even when it's not particularly rough, and sometimes when it's flat. Temples. Activating the temple is tedious and boring and adds nothing to the game. Should have been a puzzle. I do want to say, before I continue with this post, Jason has ridiculed me for not going into the temples or doing any of the temples because of the main storyline. I did watch some videos on the temples because I didn't want to speak from complete ignorance on this, and I completely agree. They are very, like, tedious and boring, and there's no difference in how they do them whatsoever. It's the same exact like system, and I'm not going to spoil it here, but it's the same exact series of things that you have to do every time to do a temple, and it's very obnoxious.
I know of them. I've not encountered one yet.
Well, and you haven't had a lot of time with the game either. No. So navigation, finding, remembering what is in each system, and then navigating the system's map. Though there is a map there, unlike anything else, where you can't even have a welcome to parentheses insert city map to find shops, etc. Man, preaching to the choir on that one. Explaining anything. Half the time, you ain't even told the bare basic stuff. I'm not even gonna say half the time. You are never told the bare basic stuff, with the exception of the buttons to shoot, and the buttons to fly, and the buttons to jump. Like, they don't tell you shit for nothing, and that ruins the experience. I already said, like, I really wanted to be a pirate, I really wanted to board stuff. You can't board without this trait that allows you to enter the mode so that you could shoot at the engines. But nobody ever tells you that. You know what I mean? Like, the stealth. The stealth is an actual skill under physics, physical. You have to take stealth to even get a bar to let you know whether you're stealthing appropriately or not. I had no idea. I just kept entering stealth and everybody kept finding me. And I didn't know why until I found that trait. And I'm like, oh my god, it's a physical trait. It's ridiculous. They don't tell you anything. Then William Hoon. Hi! Exclamation point. Thanks for the Starfield talk. I don't really have much to say this week. Well, I can tell you I'm back grinding trophies on Scorchbringer on PS4. Oh, yeah, you and that game, Will. Thanks for the show. Hashtag collecting dead bodies. Yeah, good old Shotgun McGillicuddy collecting dead bodies on his fucking cockpit. But yeah, I've moved on. I'm very excited for Payday 3 because I actually have a few people who want to play it with me. So I'm gonna get to try that one. And they just added controller support for this PC game that I've had forever, that I've been waiting for the controller support on, called Those Who Are About to Die, which I'm absolutely in love with right now. If you have a PC, try Those Who Are About to Die. It was originally invented by one guy. He's now hired a crew, but it's a gladiator simulation game. And it's like almost roguelike. It's great. It's absolutely great. Love the game. But they finally got controller support so I could play it. I'm not playing a game like that with mouse and keyboard. Sorry. All right, that's it for Fan Traction. Anything you got to add, man?
No, not really.
All right, well, guys, we're going to talk about the Nintendo Direct and the Sony State of Play before we get into the drudge that is the news. So, yeah, we're going to have some fun with that because I thought it was actually a solid Nintendo Direct for a change. But it also leaves me thinking some suspicions, and we're going to get into it. We'll be right back with that.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, guys, that brings us to our talking point. Like I said, just recently this week, I think Thursday, there was a Nintendo Direct, and it was a pretty big one. It was I feel like it was a surprise Nintendo Direct. We didn't really have any, like, warning that this was coming, and then, like, a day prior, they're like, Nintendo Direct tomorrow, and then it was a pretty big one. A lot of things announced. Then the day after that, we got a Sony State of Play, which was not as big, not even close, but the Nintendo Direct was pretty big, so I kind of want to talk about that. Get into that and discuss some things about that. Where do you want to start on this Nintendo Direct there, Neil?
I actually want to start with Thousand Year Door Remake.
Okay, let's do it.
This is something...
Big deal.
Yeah, it's something for a while that's... It's been rumored for a long time. It's one of those long-running Nintendo rumors that everybody's always talking about every single time.
They want it. They've requested. An announcement.
Yeah, they requested, but there's every single time there's, set to be a Nintendo Direct. Like, everybody's all abuzz. Oh, man, we're going to get some Paper Mario Thousand Year Door remake, anything, like a port or something. And this time it actually happened. They actually announced Paper Mario Thousand Year Door for the Switch as a full-on remake. I'm very excited about this. It was the last Paper Mario that was good. And that's saying something because it came out all the way on the GameCube.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a big deal. Like you said, it's something that everybody's been kind of expecting for a long time and requesting. Like, this is one of those that people have just wanted on the Switch forever. I don't think Thousand Year Door really... it wasn't really released on a system that people liked, was it? Was it Game Boy Advance, or was it...
It was GameCube.
It was GameCube. Okay, so GameCube, which I would say is not the most popular Nintendo system out there. Plenty of people had it, but I don't know if it was a success like the Wii or the Nintendo 64 or the Super Nintendo. So this is this is kind of good for it to kind of get onto a system that's in basically every household, I think it is interesting. I kind of wanted to save a little bit of this to the end, but I guess since we're talking about a remaster right off the bat, I do want to say one downside from this Direct: a lot of remasters.
Yeah.
Of remasters or remakes, remasters. They're all remasters and remakes that were interesting and kind of cool to bring them up. But I think this is more evidence of the new Switch, the new Nintendo system, that I think will still be coming in 2025. I don't know. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things to where they very well may be kind of padding out the remaining days of the Switch. Because as it stands, what was it? Sometime next summer, we're supposed to get the Switch's successor.
Announced it.
Well, that's been the rumors, at least thus far.
I don't think we're seeing it until 2025. I've said that before on the podcast. I think it's going to be early 2025 is when we're going
to
see it.
I think it'll be holiday season next year.
I don't think it'll be holiday season. They don't like to compete. You look at the Switch. The Switch was successful because it launched in what, April, March, something like that?
Yeah.
That's what they want to do again. That was really successful for Switch. That's what they're going to want to do this time. That's why we're not going to see it holiday season next year. We're going to see it 2025 early. So like March, April, somewhere in there, that's where we're going to see the system. And there's just too much stuff coming out next year that for the Switch that I think it's more evident that they're not going to drop that hammer in the next year, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it very well could be.
Yeah.
My big sort of tinfoil hat sort of situation with this is the fact that both Paper Mario Thousand Year Door and Super Mario RPG are getting remakes.
Yeah.
I think that they are testing the waters. I think that Paper Mario has not worked out the way that they had thought it was going to work out with just throwing random shit at the wall every single time they have one come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at this point they've realized, like, well, maybe, you know, just to make sure, let's just do some games in the old traditional turn-based fashion and see what happens with those. Because even with, like, the Mario and Luigi games,
right,
the spiritual successors, so to speak, of these turn-based RPGs, even those started to get, you know, weird and, you know, turning into their own thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nintendo's doing what Nintendo does best, but the problem with their, you know, attempts at innovation is they sometimes, you know, walk away from something that works.
Yeah. I very much agree with that. I think if Nintendo, I mean, has any bad habit when it comes to the actual game design, it is they have a tendency to walk away from things that people love. You look at what they did to Metroid and all the Metroid games and how long they spend away from those games, even though everybody loves them and wants them to come back. I think that they do the same thing a lot with the Mario, the Paper Mario for a long time. The Mario RPG is one of the most, like, highly regarded Mario games, and there's only ever been one of them. I mean, yes, there were the spiritual successors in Mario Luigi, but really there's only one official entry into that series. I would love to see sequels. I actually said when they announced the Mario RPG that I would have been much happier if it was a sequel. I didn't think that game necessarily needed a remaster. Like, especially since it's widely available. Like, you can play it on their Nintendo Online. Like, you could just go in and play it. It's not as good graphics as whatever the next one's coming out, but you could go play the game. I don't think you need to rework the entire game again. Instead, make a sequel. Give us something new, you know?
It was on the Super Nintendo Classic Edition as well, I do believe.
Yeah. So, like, that's kind of one of those things that, like, I mean, I guess we've talked about it now, but we got more gameplay footage of that at this Direct. Again, looks really cool, looks really interesting. I think it's cool that it's getting a remaster, but at the same time, would I be way more excited if we got a full-fledged sequel? Yes, you know? Yes and yes, you know?
So, in keeping with the theme of, like, the remakes and the sequels and everything like that, one that I have no idea why on earth it is that they're doing is the Mario vs. Donkey Kong remake. It was a Game Boy Advance game that sold fine.
Yeah.
It wasn't one that people were clamoring for. I don't know how well that is going to do.
I very weird by this one because that is not like in the annals of history and the recorded Mario, you know, whatever, that's not one that anybody really remembers, you know? So like I'm kind of surprised that's getting a remake. I'm kind of surprised they devoted people to that, you know? That is a very strange one. I do want to talk about the one that I really want to get your opinion on, which is, you know, you've been waiting for this for years. You've been talking about this for years, how much you want something like this. And while I am sure that this is not exactly what you wanted, they announced F-Zero 99 and surprise released it on Thursday, which is an F-Zero Battle Royale, which sounds really fun and cool. I have not had a chance to try it, though. So I know you tried it. What did you think?
I did not try it.
You didn't try it?
Mm-mm. I mean,
really?
First, there's been no time, but honestly, this thing does not move the needle for me.
Why?
This does not move the needle for me. I have F-Zero for the Super Nintendo. I don't need to play it with 98 other individuals. That's not what I come to F-Zero for. I think
you're sounding very curmudgeonly right now.
I think that
somebody peed in your cornflakes.
What I wanted, if they wanted to have an F-Zero, like, I want a sequel to F-Zero GX. Like, that's what I want.
Okay.
this here, like, sure, it's, like, I don't hate its existence, but it's not what I want. This is, all it is the same Super Nintendo version of the game with a new coat of paint on it, in that you can play it online against other people. 30 racers would have been fine. I feel like that would have been a bit more in line with, like, tradition, so to speak, because that's how F-Zero's been, like, with GX. Like, if you want to put people in, like, an endless race and do it that way, like, there were modes that you could set up in F-Zero GX to where you could race around and your whole purpose was to destroy the other vehicles and be the last one standing. I wanted something more along those lines than this. I don't know. Maybe it's just me being sour because it's not what I wanted from it, but
You're definitely sounding a little sour, buddy. I love you, honestly, but you sound a little sour.
I don't know.
I think this is the test. Just like you said, the move the needle thing.
Yeah.
Just like you said, you want to see what happens with the Mario RPG Thousand Year Door, and they're using that as a test. I feel like we're getting the same thing with the F-Zero. I mean, they love to do these battle royales. They already did it with Mario, and they did it with... Didn't they do another 99, or was it just Mario?
There's Tetris.
Tetris. Thank you.
Pac-Man.
I didn't know about the Pac-Man, but, you know, they love to do these, but I also feel like this is one of those where it's like, let's see how many people really want F-Zero. We have seen in the past games or, franchises that just get screamed about on the internet from people, and then when they come back or they release, nobody buys them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, I think they're trying to kind of be like, okay, everybody says they want this, let's see if they want it, let's see how many people play this and see how much demand stays for this, you know?
And I mean, I'll be honest, if it was the way that they were doing the test, I feel like a port of F-Zero GX would have been the way to do it.
I would disagree.
And slap in online matchmaking for races.
Okay, all right. What I was just about to say is I think you have to give people
something
shiny,
yeah,
to bring mm-hmm. them to it, to see, you know, you gotta give them some reason other than that, because otherwise people will just say, this is just a port, I've played this game 1,000 times, you know what I mean? Like, at least this is something new. It's a very simple concept, but something new in the F-Zero, so but very easy for them to produce and release, which allows them to see, like, okay, would something new really attract people back to it? So I think this is really a test. I am surprised that you are not at least a little bit more happy about this. I do feel like you're working too hard, sir. okay, so moving on, let's talk about the remasters one more time. We got a Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3 remasters announced for Switch, which is very weird to me. A Luigi's Mansion 2 HD rematch remaster, which we've kind of been expecting that for a while. Yeah, it's fine. That's totally fine, right? Like... Mm-hmm. No big deal. Like, the Tomb Raider one, I think, was actually a hit. I think that was a good move, like a big hit for me. Because we haven't seen a lot of Tomb Raider stuff. And there's been almost no love given to the original trilogy. And now you're getting it on a system, kind of bringing it back in its original glory. I think that's kind of a cool... That was a surprise to me.
Yeah, and Tomb Raider is a weird blank spot for me in my gaming knowledge.
Yeah.
I never really played Tomb Raider.
I played Tomb Raider a lot when I was a kid. Tomb Raider was a big deal for me and my brother. And so I've followed Tomb Raider for, at least in some ways, for quite some time. I also very much love the new games, except for the last one that kind of tried to do too much with it, you know? But the first two Tomb Raider games were just, the first two new Tomb Raider games were just fucking phenomenal. Let's see, what else we got? Trombone Champs coming to Nintendo Switch. I'm actually kind of excited about that. I think I'm going to get that to play with Melissa on Prelude, especially with the motion controls. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting.
It is.
Did we intentionally skip over that Princess Peach Showtime?
I was saving it. But we can talk about it. Let's do it. Let's talk about Princess Peach Showtime. Hit me.
I'm not like gonna be rushing out to buy it, but I'm curious to see how this turns out because this is not what I was expecting this game to be.
No, it's not what I was expecting it to be at all. I think it's very interesting, and what I do like about it is that it has its own identity. One of the big things that scares me whenever they do the spin-offs of the Mario games, and they're pretty good about this, is giving it its own thing. You can't just make a Luigi game and he also platforms and jumps on the heads of stuff. So they made Haunted Mansion, you know what I mean? And so when I saw the Peach thing at first, I'm like, how are they going to differentiate that from the Mario games, from the Luigi games, from the other kind of like, from the Wario games, from the other kind of like, spin-offs in this area, and I think they did a pretty good job of that, actually. I think it's very interesting, you know, with her switching the costumes, switching the kind of gameplay styles. It almost melds, like, weirdly, like WarioWare and the Mario Party kind of into an actual linear story game, you know? With the kind of different ways to play, you know what I mean? Like almost like, oh, now you have to do this sort of thing. I think it's interesting. I won't be rushing out to buy it, definitely not. But I think it was. I definitely liked what I saw.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit interesting too that they tried to do another solo Peach game, because I don't know if you remember back in the day on the DS. That there was Super Princess Peach, which was just a platformer.
I did not remember that.
Yeah, it's straight up and down, just a platformer. Cool, fine. But that's the thing, is it was not necessarily seen as like the greatest ever.
Right, right. And I like that they didn't do that with this. You know what I mean? Like they kind of moved to something else with it. As far as other stuff, I don't think we really need to mention anything else. I do want to shout out one other thing that I saw here. Well, there's one other thing that I definitely want to go into. The Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass. They said that we're gonna get a bunch more courses for Mario Kart, but they went ahead and pointed out that it's going to be the final update for Mario Kart 8. Which, to me, legitimately says that we are getting a new system that they're building up for that. Because we're getting one more DLC for this, there's no reason for them to stop this gravy train. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has been around since before the Switch. It was on the Wii U. So, like, it's been around that long, and they've just been making money hand over fist on just selling DLC for it, basically. It's one of the biggest perks of getting the higher tier of the Nintendo Online, the expansion pass, is that you get all these courses that they release as they go. So this is going to be the final wave of them. There's no reason for them to do that unless they're moving to a new system and we're going to be seeing a Mario Kart 9 at some time in the near future. I think that's what's happening. I think we're working on Mario Kart 9. I think Mario Kart 9 will be, tinfoil hat, a release game for whatever this new Nintendo system is to come.
Yeah, very well could be. I actually think Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was not a launch title. It came within the first year, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other thing I want to shout out is Dave the Diver is going to get to be on its first console on Nintendo Switch. And Dave the Diver is awesome. If you've been waiting to play it till it comes to console and you have a Switch, get it. It's fucking sweet. You will not be upset or let down by this game. I still love this game. It's just such a weird, wacky little game that keeps you coming back for more. I'm blown away by it. I would have expected to play it for 2 hours, go, huh, that was fun. But no, it just keeps throwing stuff at you and making itself entertaining. And I'm very excited for it to be releasing on console. I hope it also releases on the other consoles so that some of my other friends who I have raved about it to will get to enjoy it and play it.
Yeah, I feel like it would be a good fit for a Game Pass sort of situation.
Yeah, so do I. I'm kind of fingers crossed. With the exception of the fact that I already spent money on it, and that'll be a bummer. But
yeah,
but fingers crossed, it does come to Game Pass. You got anything else to add to the Direct?
This one's that. Yeah, one small thing that I think is interesting. I didn't even know was happening. Not like I'll be able to ever go to it. But there's a Nintendo museum that's being built in Kyoto. That would be super cool to go to. But yeah.
I think so. I think that's very cool. I think it's weird that they put this in a Direct. Especially as the "and one more thing." That was probably going to be one of my criticisms of the entire show, was you had all these like really interesting games and kind of surprise announcements and drops. Like F-099, despite your sourness on it, would have been an amazing "and one more thing." You know, like, for that last announcement of the show, like, oh, and F-099, and it's out today. That would have been an amazing thing to end on. But instead, they kind of ended on the museum will be finished at some time soon. You know, I thought that was kind of a weird way to wrap the show up, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Direct overall?
Overall, I think it was all right. I mean, I wasn't blown away by it, but at the same time, I think Nintendo is good at doing this thing now. They don't, you know, preempt people for a while with, hey, guess what? In a month and a half, there's going to be a Nintendo Direct. So they don't give people time to build up expectations.
To overhype
it. Throw it on them. Exactly. And they don't, you know, also be like, I mean, in most cases, because they did this once before Tears of the Kingdom came out, but they were like, they aren't like, hey, just so you know, there's not going to be any information about this, so fuck you for even thinking about it.
Right. I think that I will agree with that statement. I think that is a good thing, honestly, because they don't give you a chance to overhype something in your mind. And then when something's like all of a sudden it's coming out and then it releases and it has a bunch of stuff at it, you're just kind of like, wow, this is really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I get to see all this stuff. I think that like, I wasn't necessarily blown away as far as I'm running out to buy any of this stuff. Right. But what I'll say is I think as far as a Nintendo Direct that we didn't know about, it had a good amount of stuff on it. It had a surprise release of a game that you could play with Nintendo Online subscription, which is awesome. I think that like the information they gave, the Tomb Raider was kind of a surprising thing. The Thousand Year Door was a big deal and a big hitter. And then a bunch of their third parties coming there, like Trombone Champ, like Dave the Diver, were big, big hits for me. But yeah, overall. So you want to talk about the state of play? At all?
There's only one thing that I want to talk about.
All right.
In the state of play, honestly. The fact that the next part of the Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming out early next year. This is crazy. I think they alluded to this anyways, but they basically scrapped everything whenever they were building it before and moved everything back in-house because they were working with like a third-party company
right
for the first part of the remake. I think they started building part one and two at the same time. And after they finished part one, they moved full development to part two, and they've, you know, then started already working on part three. I think they found their rhythm with this. And I also think it's very interesting that you'll be able to play as Sephiroth, but that's a separate side thing. But yeah, my personal gauge too on like, holy shit, this is actually really coming out, is the fact that they already have English voices dubbed. When you already have English voices dubbed on a Japanese game like that, that's like the last thing that they give a single solitary shit about. So I think it's actually coming out. I think it was January or February in 2024. Very interesting. Apparently we won't be 70 by the time this thing's going to finish.
I was very surprised by that. The fact that they actually are holding true to that, and that is actually in its final stages, that does surprise me that it is actually coming out. So yeah, that'll be interesting. There are a couple of things I do want to shout out on this show. This one is mainly for our boy William Ho-Uen, because I know he loves the Tales series of JRPGs. Tales of Arise is getting an expansion in November, 2 years after its release. That expansion will come out on November 9th. Just want to let him know about that. It's not a game for me, really, but just wanted to shout it out for him. And then the other game that looked really interesting to me at this was the Helldivers 2. Gave you gameplay where it looks really interesting. It looks like a shooter game, and it's a sequel to 2015, which Helldivers, which I never played, but apparently it was a very popular game.
I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, I don't think I ever played it. But it got announced in May, and they announced that it will arrive February 8th, 2024, for PS5 and PC. But it almost looks like a multiplayer kind of looter shooter sort of thing, and I'd love to see one of those good, other than Remnant 2. Like, Remnant 2 did that really good, and then other than that, we haven't really had a great looter shooter. We've had a lot of trashy ones. Not really a great looter shooter in a while, so I don't think this is a Neil game, but this is definitely something that I find very interesting that I wouldn't mind playing, depending on when it comes out. The other things, of course, they gave a story trailer for Frontiers of Pandora, which I don't care about in any way, shape, or form. Some Spider-Man got a gameplay trailer that highlighted a bunch of new spider suits. And then there was some DLC for Resident Evil 4. Nothing that really does anything for me. Hopefully it does something for you guys, but we don't have anything really to say about it, you know? So that's it. That's our talking point. Let's go to the news, Neil.
Let's go be angry together.
You're already angry. I think this is the first show where you're crankier than I am to start. Like, I'm over here like, oh my god, he's so cranky. Alright, we'll be right back with news.
Horrible Gaming Podcast
brings us to our final segment, the news. That's where me and Neil collect news stories that we think you should know about. Headlines that we are aware of, that we want to riff about, we want to talk about, we just want to share them. You know, we're just going to open with the big one. I think it was on both me and Neil's list.
This definitely would have been the talking point had there not been directs.
Yeah, I mean, I try and, like I said, I've had a mission statement lately of trying to kind of stay away from negative shit in our talking points because we just spend too much time in the talking points and it just makes us both, well, it makes me very sad and I don't like doing that, but it would have been. Unity has decided to do a rolling reinstall fee, basically. Unity is an engine. For anybody who doesn't know, Unity is an engine that you can create games on, you know, like Unreal. And basically, what this will mean is that any game that gets more than 200,000 downloads will then have to pay 20 cents per download of their game across the board, period. And this has enraged indie developers. It really enraged them to the point of many of them will be taking their games down, delisting those games so that they can port them over to new places. Cult of the Lamb is one of them. They've already released a tweet that said, buy the game now because on January 1st, when this goes into play, they will be removing their game. Silk Song is one game that may be affected. That's the Hollow Knight sequel. Fallout Guys is another one on Unity. Genshin Impact, Honkai Star Rail, and then Among Us has already said that they are probably going to be delisting and porting it over to a new whatever. And then somebody today, I think, like right before I got on, Rust, the creators of Rust, who also develop in Unity, said that there's no way, no unearthly way in hell that Rust 2 will ever come out on Unity because of this. This has prompted a lot more than just even that. While Unity has held fast through every piece of criticism to this, they have walked back a couple of things, such as the installs from Game Pass won't be under this 20-cent one. They've also said that somehow bot downloads won't affect you, which is bullshit. They can't possibly police that. And then they've walked a little bit of it back, but they've said, we're definitely still doing it. It's happening no matter what. They've actually received death threats to the point where they've had to shut down their office a couple of times, which I think is a little over the top. But yeah, it's not fun. Not a fun situation at all. It's a real standoff between a very widely used and operated engine and the developers that use it. One of the things that really sucks about this, too, right before I toss it over to Neil, is that Unity is kind of the engine of choice for small-time developers. The people who are being affected by this are not your AAA companies, for the most part. They're not your AAA companies. They're not even your AA companies. These are the people who make some of our really favorite indie, small-time games. Like I said, Hollow Knight. You know, yes, Genshin Impact's big deal. Marvel Snap is also on Unity, and that's a big deal. But there's a lot of games under this thing, such as Call to the Lamb, such as Among Us, that are small-time indie developers that hit it big and are now being taxed for their success, basically. This is rough.
So I think that I feel like, you know, the company's like, hey, we need to find a way to make some more money off of this, you know, X, Y, and Z. You know, you already have to pay to get the Unity logo removed when you publish a game. Why not just have an agreement when you know, like a contractual agreement? Like, there'll be two different levels of Unity. Like, the first level is like indie level. Like, hey, if you know, hit it big at the, like, this far out, like, you are licensing use of our engine and we're gonna get like 5% or whatever of a sale of a game or something. I don't know, I'm just throwing numbers out there. But the fact that they want installs, and it, from what I had read about this too, is there's also been concern about people who want to, instead of review bomb a game, just straight up and down fuck a company and just constantly purchase, refund, purchase, refund, like install, uninstall, install, uninstall. Yep. And every single time that they're not getting the money refunded when it's uninstalled.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't go back to the developer that way, but you better believe that they're paying it out.
Right.
This is trash. Absolute trash. They can go ahead and, you know, say, oh, well, we're going to walk it back. We're not going to walk it back, rather. We're going to hold fast and this, that, and the other. Like, when you start messing with other people's money like that, especially in our climate right now with everything on the internet being the way it is, somebody's going to find a way to exploit this to fuck with people. There's too much exposure to the little guys who are trying to use Unity. they're being punished for success, basically, like you said. And there were lots of questions of, well, what about Game Pass? You know, what are they going to have to shell out for every single time somebody installs a game via Game Pass? And if they want to go ahead and change all this stuff, I think it's only fair that you change the stuff from this point forward, not retroactively go back in for the people who've already used, you know, done and used and got and everything like that, this engine for their game. Because their success has nothing to do. It's like a tool company for, you know, for like a carpenter's building a house. And like DeWalt is like, hey guys, so for every nail you hammer in, we need a nickel.
Yep.
Like that, it's a tool to be used to make a thing.
But it's even worse
than
that.
You buy the thing once.
Yeah.
Or you have a predetermined agreement.
Yeah.
It's not like a subscription to a hammer shows up, you know, halfway through your building of your house.
Right. I mean, it's even worse in that analogy because you're not the one hammering the nail in. It's somebody else hammering the nail in, and you have no control over how many nails they hammer in. Just me alone, okay? I have uninstalled and reinstalled WWE 2K23 probably about 6 times, mainly because I was trying to fix bugs, but I was also moving it from my SSD to my spinning hard drive and other things. Right there, they're getting charged for that. The big problem with this fee isn't even that it's an extra fee. It's not even that you're raising your price. It's that you are putting a price tag on something other people have no way of controlling whatsoever. Like the price is on the installation. It's not on the price of the game. It's not on, you know what I mean? It's not on the price of your thing. Like if they had said, okay, every 5 games you have to give us an extra $5, you know, that you upload with our thing, you know? Okay, that's something. But you're putting it on other people installing installing your game. Just like you said, you could set up a bot to just uninstall and reinstall a game. They'll do it a million times in a day. You know what I mean? Like, they're charging on the installation of the game. And that's insane to me. That's absolutely insane. What bothers me even more is they have said, you know, stuff like, we know you won't get charged for extra bot downloads, and you won't get charged for false downloads, and you won't get charged for reinstallation. There's no earthly way that Unity can in any way, shape, or form tell if it is a unique installation or not. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that Unity has the technology at their hands to be like, that guy installed it a second time. It's not his. You know what I mean? We're not going to charge him for that. But that guy's a bot. We're going to charge him for that. There's no way. There's no way. The whole reason that bots exist is because, for the most part, you can't find them. You know what I mean? If we could find bots, we wouldn't have had the whole fucking chip crisis and the whole PlayStation 5 crisis back on release day when they were coming out. Because people would have shut the bots down. That's the whole point of bots. So, like, the idea that you could police or monitor this system in any way, shape, or form is insane. They're just trying to put people at ease with something, and then they're going to charge you for every fucking installation that there is under the sun. It doesn't matter if Joe Schmo reinstalls it 6 times and only pays for it once. You're going to get charged for it. And that's really the problem.
Yeah, like, if you want to start charging, charge for purchases.
Yeah.
Charge for the initial purchase.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay. Put an extra 20 cents on that. Yeah.
Fine. It's fine. It is what it is. Like,
right.
The fact that it's tied to an installation.
Right.
Like, I almost feel like in us talking about it, like there has to be something that we're missing to this because it just sounds so inherently fucking stupid.
Yes. Yes.
Like there's got to be more to it. But like from Veneers, I can tell there's not.
Right. Like I've read 6 articles on this thing. from like three different places, and I'm the same way. I'm exactly in your camp. I'm like, how can this be the way that this is? And like, it just looks like that's what it is, and it's just insane. It's insane to me that any company would do this and then hold fast. So like, at this point, they might as well just do it, because they've held so fast through so much shit already that nobody is, the people who are going to walk away from them are going to walk away from them. Like, I don't foresee any of the companies that have said we're going to walk away coming back to them, regardless of if tomorrow they were like, all right, we're not going to do it anymore. I think that they have disrupted a huge amount of trust. And this isn't even like the trust of like consumer versus producer. You know what I mean? Because in that, you can win the trust back pretty easily. We've seen that in games. You know, we complain about it all the time, that people, you know, bitch about something and then go right out and buy the next game from that developer, you know? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about developers who spend hard time working on this game. They're not going to come back to you. This is like, you know what I mean? Like, you're talking about the other consumers that you're hurting, the other producers that you're hurting, and this is the problem. And I also think it's even more grievous because, like I said, the people who are truly going to get hurt by this are not the AAA developers, because the people who make Marvel Snap don't give a shit if it's an extra 20 cents, for the most part. Like, it's not really going to hurt their bottom line. They're making money hands over fist. Same with Genshin Impact. But, like, Among Us, Fallout guys, fucking, Cult of the Lamb, those are smaller.
The people making Silk Song.
Like, yes.
Silk Song is like, that's, I feel like, aside from like all the other heavy hitters of like, you know, Genshin and everything like that, that's the one that's gonna hit really hard, because this game has been like demanded for a multitude of years. There is a very high demand for that game. When it comes out, it is going to destroy, guaranteed. It's an indie game that's like got the hype behind it of something like Starfield or some shit. And then having this roll out roughly within about the time that that game is going to launch, I almost wonder if that's calculated, truthfully.
Like, well, if, and that's part of what they're already rumoring that Silk Song's going to try and move to a different engine. And if they do that, it's going to take another 2 years for that game to come out. So, like, it's a real weird situation. It's also going to put a lot of players who love playing these games kind of out in the cold. You know, hey, man, I don't know what Marvel Snap's going to do. I don't expect them to give a shit, but if they do and they decide to shut down, I play Marvel Snap daily and have been playing daily since it came out. I love the game. So, like, that's something I will lose, you know? It's a real bummer. It's an absolute real bummer. So I think that covers it.
Yeah.
This is why we do these in the news. Because we do it and we're done and we move on. I love it. So I've got four left.
So I have three left. So go on ahead.
All right. I'm going to do the one that I think we may have already mentioned, that I may have forgot we mentioned. Mod support for Starfield is coming in 2024. So everybody out there who is excited to see what the modders do. And look, regardless of my feelings on Starfield right now, mod support for Bethesda has always been A quality stuff. It continues to make Skyrim awesome and interesting, and I am sure that the mods for Starfield will be absolutely awesome. Pardon the pun, but stellar. I think they will be just fantastic. So I'm very excited for that, and I will say this. I'm not saying I'm completely done with Starfield ever. I could come back to it at some point in the future. After some mods or whatever, you know what I mean? So that's kind of exciting. And I think we mentioned that on a previous show. If we did, I'm sorry for the retread.
So I'm going to go with, one that I'm curious to see, because I know this is something that you used to do. I don't know if you still do it.
Ooh.
But it's Microsoft is rolling out an Xbox credit card. And is going to be shutting down the Microsoft Rewards.
What?
Oh my God. I guess you didn't hear about this.
I heard about the credit card. I didn't know about the rewards. Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're going to be rolling out this credit card is going to get you, you know, extra rewards on, you know, game purchases and everything like that. You can redeem to buy more games.
Oh, my God.
But one of the other things with this is they had Microsoft Rewards to where you could go in on like Bing and search for stuff a couple times a day and you'd get reward points you could bank and then turn into, you know, gift cards and whatnot.
You could still do it on Microsoft. Yeah, you could do it with Game Pass. I do it regularly. My September month of Game Pass was free because of my rewards.
Yeah, that program will be going away whenever the credit card goes out.
God, heaven forbid there's any way to save money in this fucking world, man. That actually pisses me off more than the Unity thing because my wife just started doing it just on the side to earn Robux for our 7-year-old.
No.
And now I'm going to have to tell her she probably that when is the credit card rolling out?
There's an early access for it coming here the holiday season. And I think it's rolling out widely next year.
That's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit. Just another way we can't. I don't think that the companies of this world are understanding that they are slowly making it impossible to make money off of us. Because they keep charging more and more for everything. Eventually, we're not going to be able to pay for it, and you're not going to get anything at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's just insane to me. Just everything. Everything in the world just keeps going up and up and up. And you're like, eventually we're not going to have the money to pay you. Like, I don't know what to tell you, you know? It's fucking stupid. That's a real bummer. That actually makes me very sad. Very sad. I guess we'll stick to bummers. Prolific developer Volition is being closed by Gearbox. And Gearbox is for sale because Embracer Group is suddenly on fire. Apparently, according to Embracer, and this actually pisses me off, Embracer was trying to sell themselves to a Saudi company. We all know how I feel about the Saudi companies. And they were trying to sell themselves to a Saudi company, and the Saudi company decided not to buy them. And because they have decided not to buy them, even though last year, if you remember, they bought like 5 fucking companies.
Yep.
Because the Saudi company did not buy them, now they have to start closing companies and selling companies. So Gearbox, prolific company Gearbox, is for sale, and Volition has been closed. Volition made Descent, for fuck's sake. Like, OG Descent. Recently, they did the redo of the remake of Saints Row, which was not widely received very good and had low sales. Fair enough, but I mean, this is a company that's been around forever, and you're just closing them. Volition's closed, and Gearbox is for sale, and Embracer is straight up on fire. I will say, this just pushes more into our direction of the whole AAA market is starting to crash. Gets closer and closer to crash right now. Like, more and more companies, big conglomerate companies, are starting to be on fire. And yeah, this is rough stuff.
So I guess more bummer stuff.
Sure, bring it on.
This
is the first show ever in our entire history, I think, where you've depressed me. I started out in a good mood, and now I'm depressed.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be like that. I don't know what to tell you. So Nintendo is ending for Mario Kart Tour, the mobile Mario Kart game. I never played it. It seemed like it was
cash grab.
Kind of just very cash grabby. And I also heard that the rubber banding is horrendous. Yeah. So
look, I mean, I don't think that many people like that game, and I gotta be honest, Nintendo's foyer into mobile stuff was really ill thought of and ill conceived, because not only did they put like price tags, like actual premium price tags on their mobile games, they then did a bunch of cash grabby bullshit inside them. I think it just rubbed people the wrong way. You know, Mario Run had that, and then you had this Mario Tour. I actually played the Dr. Mario one, because that one was free, but it had a lot of cash grabby stuff in it. And then you had this Mario Tour one, which was, again, same thing. And I think if Nintendo had concentrated on making a good mobile game without cash grab bullshit, and just sold it for like $5 or $10, I think it would have been much better of a situation. I think they've just burned too many bridges there, and they're walking away from it.
Yeah, definitely one of those things where, like, they were trying to do what all the other AAA companies did, and they thought that they could just get away with it with all the cash grabby, microtransaction-y horse shit. Just did not. I think they didn't do well with it because they have their own ass fuckery that they deal with.
Yeah.
In regard to, like, you know, the what was it, the cardboard thing, Nintendo Labo, you know, stuff like that. They do their own thing with that.
Yeah, they do. They do. All right, so Sims 5. The Sims 5. So Sims 4 went free to play about, I want to say, like, halfway through its life cycle, or probably later in its life cycle. I'm not sure, but it went free to play. It was apparently a very successful move for them on a whole. So they have announced that Sims 5 will be free to play. I'm bringing this news up because I know there's one listener who cares about this, but honestly, she probably already knows.
She already knows.
I figured. Nonetheless, free to play will be Sims 5. Or free to download, I guess, is the way they put it. But.
Yeah, that was something, too, that like I had kind of seen the writing on the wall ahead of time. And I was like, hey, like even like a year and a half, 2 years ago, I'm like, I really think that the next game is going to be like really shitty when it comes to like microtransactions and, you know, it's going to be a lot of free to play bullshit. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've been transitioning towards that for a while.
Yeah.
Even how they already have things broken down. They've with their already
DLC
got it.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm going to mess this up, and she's going to roll her eyes whenever she listens back to this. But there's like three tiers of DLC stuff. There's like stuff packs, and then there's like expansion packs, and then there's like another higher tier or something like that. And like one of them's like $5, the other one's $20, and the other one's like $40. Like when you buy all of these individual expansions and everything like that, I mean, she's got literally hundreds of dollars in these games, actual hundreds of dollars with all the expansions and DLCs and everything like that.
And they just get you slowly over the course of whatever. Yeah. All right. So how many you got left?
One more.
Go hit us.
So it's a little weird. I guess it's kind of weird, but Apple announced their new iPhone 15 lineups this past week.
Yes, heard about
that. And the only reason we're really talking about it here is the iPhone 15 Pros basically they claim are capable of ray tracing. Are capable of ray tracing and will be running Resident Evil 4 Remake, as well as having the first time a full-fledged version of a game, the Assassin's Creed Mirage, will be launching on the iPhone.
Wow.
So Apple is really considering the iPhone to be an actual gaming platform now. They dedicated a whole chunk of that show to gaming and showing like all the different things that the new iPhone 15 Pros can do.
Well, Apple Arcade has been pretty successful. They have some interesting games on there, and Just stealth plug from my boy William Hu, and if you want to see some reviews on Apple Arcade stuff, he's one of the only people on YouTube I've seen that just like exclusively Apple Arcade stuff. So go check out his channel. But yeah, I think that like that's interesting. That's really interesting. You know, it's a weird world, man. It's a real weird world. You know, I play WWE 2K23 on my phone all the time through Steam. You know, and I think that that's it's just real weird. I mean, I will never buy an eye anything because I don't like iPhones. I've never liked iPhones. I'm never gonna buy iPhones. Just won't do it. And everybody who I know who has an iPhone is gonna be mad at me whenever I text them. I understand that, but like, I'm just not gonna do it. I'm not gonna contribute to Apple. But that is interesting that you could do that. I think that, like, my first question would be like, yeah, but can it make phone calls? You know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I mean, of course, it'll make the calls, but like the fact that they dedicated so much of it into this, like, I'll be very curious to see if they try the whole gaming thing again, because there was once long, long ago, the Apple, what was it? It wasn't the Apple Newton. Was it the Newton? The Apple made a gaming console. I cannot remember the name of it offhand right now. But once long ago, they tried their hand at it, and it didn't work out too well. And then from there, they've had like games on like Apple devices, like on Macs and everything like that. But even still to this day, like Apple's not known for their gaming, right, which I find very ironic because, you know, they're known for like graphical processing and everything like that, you know, right out of the box inherently. So I find that very interesting. But I do think like they also made mention too about how like it's optimized for cloud gaming, this, that, and the other. But what I just cannot wrap my head around is, I don't know if you remember this or not, it was like a year and a half or 2 years ago, Apple went out of their way to make sure that you couldn't, I think it was Project X Cloud or it was Stadia, one of the two. They went out of their way to make sure that that could not run on an Apple device.
Yes, I do remember that.
And you had to do some crazy dumb workaround by like opening a Safari browser and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Boy, if Apple is not just like, have their finger on the pulse, but tone deaf at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I do think that they definitely, I mean, nowadays, you know, we talk about the Steam Deck and how successful that is, the Nintendo Switch, how successful that is. If you could take a phone and make that a gaming console, that's a dangerous thing in the gaming world to anybody, especially if it also has a dedicated library of games that you can only get on it, which it already kind of does have with Apple Arcade. I think it's a very high cat. I think it's a very interesting thing. We'll have to see how that works, because that could be a real killer, you know. Final one, nice easy upswing sort of deal, and this is for our build master general, because I know he's excited about this, and I think this is one of his predictions. I don't know exactly if it makes him right or wrong, but I think it is one of his predictions. Warhammer Rogue Trader, the CRPG for Warhammer that he was very excited about, has announced its release date, and it will be December 7th, 2023. That is when Rogue Trader will be coming out, and it will also be coming out everywhere, which is even more interesting. Not just on PC, but on all the consoles and all the whatchamacallits and whatnot. So that's kind of exciting. It's very interesting.
Trying to open up my notes
to see. I think he had a Rogue Trader like prediction, if I recall correctly. And it was specifically 2023.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I see something. Come on, open up. When did you say the release date was going to
be? December 7th, 23.
God damn. Yeah, that's on there.
Yeah, well done. Well done, Phil Billy. Nonetheless, not only well done, but congratulations. Your game will be coming out in December. That's pretty cool. So exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. All right, well, that's it for the news, right?
That would be it, yes.
All right, let's wrap it up then. We'll be right back with the plugs.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show. Shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, what you want to plug, buddy?
Boy, if we are not still just forcing ourselves through, banging out, so to speak, Redfall at this point.
Working for that orgy.
Working. You know, I forgot all about that. Whenever the
name I named it that last episode.
I know, like, I'm just sitting there. I get a notification, and I'm like, okay, the video's up. And I'm like, what the? Wait a second. What the fuck? Oh, sweet shit. I'm just like.
So proud of the names. God. So proud of the names that I give it. Yeah. Redfall. You never actually said Redfall.
Redfall.
Redfall down. We're still working through it. We're going to record some more this week, and we shouldn't miss any episodes. Very excited about it. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. In a terrible, sick, not at all fun sort of way. But, I mean, well, it's fun a little bit because I'm with Neil and Kayla. You guys are always fun to play with. I will say I am very much looking forward to the day where the three of us can play good games
something
again.
Else.
But I do enjoy playing it with you guys. As far as me, I do want to add something. We're not quite ready to announce it yet, but Neil and Kayla will be dipping their fingers into the streaming, their toes into the streaming TTRPG river. We're going to be doing a one-shot here pretty soon of Starfish Sitting There. So I'm kind of excited about that. You guys keep your eye out for that. Are you excited for that, Neil?
Actually, though, I have to talk to you about it off to the side because for some reason those files wouldn't open.
Well, that fucking sucks. Why wouldn't they open? Okay.
It says something about a URL gateway expired.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't open them in time? That's weird. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, that's for off the show. You guys out there, other than that, plug-wise, we're doing TTRPG and gaming stuff. We're season finale. This week, season 2 finale of Old Man General Manager, OMGM, me and Jeremy. Season 2, did I come back? Did I pull it off? Did I win a WrestleMania 2? Our copyright claim is disputed. They are no longer coming after us. Thank God for that. So it can be aired. It's an hour and a half long special. So please come check it out. It's really exciting to wrap it up. But we're not taking any weeks off. The week right after, we go right into season 3. I'm very excited about that. So please check that out. Prelude, we're probably playing Oregon Trail again. I'm sorry, everybody. It just happens. I can always get Melissa to play it. So that's what we're going to end up playing a lot. And then other than that, Redfall Down, we're going to keep playing. We've got the TTRPG stuff, the streams, the Ninja Turtles, the Astro Drive. Check out everything we have to offer, guys. We offer so much to you guys. I've also got a Snap Judgment review that probably just went up on Those Who Are About to Die, which I'm very proud of. So, other than that, you guys can check us out on Facebook at OldManGamingDH, on Twitter at OldManGaming9. You can join our Discord. Links in the description below. Influence this and all of our shows from there. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as long as you keep watching and keep listening, I'll keep making them. I'll see you guys next week.
I did get to do a fun thing today, though. We did a murder mystery dinner.
Oh, those are fun. I haven't ever gotten to play one, but I've always wanted to.
I got to be a Russian rocket engineer.
Nice, nice.
I got to be a Russian rocket engineer, so I got to be the biggest Russian stereotype.
I love being stereotyped. That's the most fun. When you get, like, the okay to pretend to be a stereotype, it's like,
I was like really hoping that I had to go out into public because I'm in like dress slacks with a lab coat and a big ass red armband with the Russian symbol on it. No exaggeration, I 3D printed a model rocket and had a potato in my other pocket. Like, I was taking it to the max.
Nice. That's what we like to call deep role playing right there. Deep role play. Oh, all right, my friend. I have to go because I have not wanted to cut you off because you seem like you needed to vent, but I have had to take a shit so bad since, like, the news.
This whole time.
The news. I am going to drop a deuce, but I have to go. So...